June 7th, 2022. Let me start our study with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and honor we have to come before you as brothers and sisters, to kneel at your feet together, seeking after you, to inquire and depend upon your precious Spirit for revelation and understanding. Quicken your word to our hearts and the joy of study that we see Murray talking about in the holiest of all, the depth and breadth of our presentation and understanding and grasp of such a wonderful Son that you have spoken to us by, and who you do speak to us by, our so great High Priest. We would trust you for a blessed time tonight. Bless us as we would discuss things together, help Kate as she'd be listening, and look forward to you being glorified. Bring us also, Lord, into a sense and a conscious awareness of your presence. Jesus' name. Amen. All right, what you guys see on the screen, holiest of all, our introductory splash page, we have the date, we have the agenda over in the upper left, that young gentleman flipping the pages of a book. So we have a reminder that on the website we have materials, different various resources, videos, PDFs, and so on, and all the sessions, one of which we're involved in now, which will be up in the next couple days, which will have a PDF of it. So visually you can see it downloaded. Audio you can download to an MP3 or listen to it online. And then the video, which you can also download and or watch it online. And that'll have everything available for us, plus a history of those. I'm gonna go over some of that in a minute in reference to some access to some material some of us might not be aware of. We're gonna have two discussion points tonight. We haven't really had any in the past. I introduced some resource material, and you find those on the last panel in the visual presentation listed, and we're adding a couple more to it tonight, and we'll get to those in a second. Tonight is just a brief review over and some background for the third chapter of Holiest of All, the Son, the glory of his person. We're going to just touch on a little bit more background for Murray, for some scriptural resources that all of us have access to. And then I think I will go ahead. There's a video I wanted to play that's in the resource materials that some of you haven't seen. I think Adam might have seen it in the past. And then some references material having to do with the sister website that we do, which is the Sabbath Rest, the study of the first epistle of John, you guys have access to those resources. And I want to use one as a background introduction. And I think we can introduce it tonight, even though Kate is somewhat limited in what she can see. I'll try to be as audible as I can pertaining to that, and encourage Jerry and Kate to maybe have access during the week and maybe get a little bit more background of how we approach our study and utilize the visual presentations. All right. This one, of course, is a poster, and Linda can't see it, but I can describe it. What you see is three common ways that we as Christian people would testify to the reality of the life of Christ in our lives. One, of course, is Christ lives in me, which is a common testimonial statement, or we might even call it a witness at times, and the joy that then a Christian, a brother and sister, manifests in the reality of something indeed not only has happened to them, but there's somebody living inside of them. The other one is, of course, is Jesus is my life. Many songs have that attached to it in the form of a lyric. It's also a pretty common testimonial statement. And another one is Christ is my life. So we see those three up on the poster. And that should give you a little indication of the direction we're going to head for this little discussion point. The next panel has to do with the holiest of all, with the person of Jesus Christ. And I know all of us, and assume some of that in reference to at least an introductory, if not a little bit more in depth and maybe quite exhaustive awareness and familiarity with the content of the Epistle of the Hebrews. And Murray's book, called The Holiest of All, You could go a couple of different ways on does he mean the holiest of all as far as a residence in heaven, the right hand of the Father sitting down there? Is he actually talking about the person of Jesus Christ, who is the holiest of all, who's our so great high priest, who indeed is this son that we're being introduced to in the first paragraph of the epistle? So a question I give to all of us in reference to or segueing off of the little artistic work over on the left that says, let's have a discussion. Our main, one of the main goals and object of our study together, looking at Andrew Murray, Holiest of All, and the Epistle to the Hebrews, is to encourage each other by witness, by testimony, by teaching of the life of God in a human being, which you see in Jesus Christ, of which the Hebrews speaks to in regard to who this wonderful Son is, also conveyed to us in our own experience and by the scriptures, and certainly pointed to by Andrew Murray, that this same God, life of God, life resident in a human being, is indwelling in us also. And so questions that we will address with each other and over the course of time, I think, get more comfortable, is actually talking about what is he like actually living inside of me. Maybe 1 John is the best illustration in the scriptures that talks about the actual experience of that life within us as he manifests his life, as it comes out of us, as God makes himself known, resident in a human being. We have the exalted privilege not only to be a human being, but to be a resident house of God that this Son so wonderfully has made, and the birthing of himself. And I'm going to go over a little chart about that in a little bit. But that's what this page is about. We actually have hands resources at our fingertips. We have Murray's Holiest of All, which indeed, if you're familiar with it, and I think most of us are, speaks from a devotional, testimonial witness to that life that's within him. And then his teaching, trying to bring the brothers and sisters in Christ in his ministry up to a place of full maturity. In Hebrews, it would be called the Sabbath rest. 1 John, it would be called awareness, knowledge, and confidence that indeed we have eternal life in his name is Jesus Christ, and so on. We have the scriptures, which is the quad, the five that we're looking at, more focused on as a group for reference materials. We have historical saints. So his history we can look at and get resource material from pertaining to this life that's in you and I, and then we have each other. And again, I apologize, I'm going over this rather quickly and by way of introduction, because we'll hit it again next week. This panel now starts in the top header is quotes from the scriptures, so which we're all familiar with, which I would assume we're all quite attracted to. And that's the experience you're talking about, is Christ in you, the hope of glory, and Christ who is my life. The thing that we want to take note of and will develop a high degree of confidence, unshakable confidence, is that the Holy Spirit, since we met him personally, and he's the one who resides within us, educating us about this so wonderful fellowship we have with his Son and with our Father, is educating us about the experience of having this eternal life. And that should get us cranked and excited every time we come to sit down together to have the opportunity to inquire after him, to share the experiences he has and will continue to give us, and then come to a place of full, as 1 John says, abiding in him, learning of the life that resides within us, that's living within us. So once again, that emphasis is what we want to kick off the study with tonight. Now I have these two, I have one video, which isn't very long, on it, it's without audio. So I think Kate should be able to hear it with the sharing of the audio. So when I don't have audio with it, so you can't, there's nothing to hear. But I'll describe it for you, Kate, as we go through it. We'll go through it quick, and then by maybe next time we meet together, you'll be able to see it or have seen it prior to that. And then the second one on the right over there is session 10 of the Sabbath rest sessions that we had up in Sandstone, where Adam's at, and he was a member of that study group, and some of the panels that are there by way of background pertaining to the development of this foundation that we want to be comfortable at as we begin to dig deeper into Hebrews and to Murray's Holiest of All. So let me start that. If it's something that doesn't work, it's only a few minutes long, so we'll buck up and take it like men and women. All right, so this is the start of the video. It's pulling it up off the website, and I'll let Jerry and Kate know where it's at when they find. Okay, this first panel is really inquiring about the human user manual. What is man? And we see that addressed in the Epistle of Hebrews and man to chapter 2. Then looking for the human user manual, we have the scriptures accessible to us. We have reason. Historically, mankind has looked for the human user manual by means of reason. Tradition, of which we're all familiar with, we have our Christian church, we have history, we have the scriptures, we have what's traditional passed on to us, and then we have the emphasis on the experience of the encounter in the event of meeting the God-man. So the full revelation of God we find in the person, the man, God-man, Jesus Christ. God manifest, true humanity manifest, life manifest. Humanity in fellowship with God, joint participation in life with Him. And again, that's our emphasis. We'll see that drawn out by Andrew Murray in his Holiest of All. This is just a graphical presentation on this page of those four components, scripture, reason, tradition, and experience. This was made to be taught from. I created it and then to be narrated while we have it, but this is good. Up pops a little video of the Wesleyan Quadrilateral, which we draw these four items from. So historically, this isn't something I came up with. It's something that we have access to as Christian folks. The way that we as Christian people began to verify, look, and evaluate the revelations and the understandings we were getting regarding our Christian life and the world we live in. It's a couple of scriptural quotes, Colossians, Proverbs, and a couple others were up there. Next panel. Is a visual that I created to illustrate the reality of Christ in you, which of course is our core in reference to why we each one of us really are studying. It's the Holy Spirit who sets us on fire to find out about more of this salvation, this God, and what He's done to us. So we have over on the left, complementing the Christ in you and the Wesleyan Quadrilateral with scripture, reason, experience, and tradition, we have confirmed in us, testified in us, verified by the Holy Spirit in us, witnessed in me by the Holy Spirit as He points them out, and the experiential aspect, His life is actually experienced in us. If any of these we find lacking, we're at a point in our lives, whether we call ourselves Christians or not, that we begin to question the reality of, am I a child of God or not? And of course, that's a main part of our study as we look at the Holiest of All. That's the end of that. Any questions? I went through that fast for those of you that could see it. Anybody have any questions pertaining to that? I'll take your silence, as I did such an awesome job explaining it. You could actually visually see it with your eyes shut. Maybe not so much. All right, but Kate and Jerry gets home and stuff. You guys will have an opportunity to look at this and all that verbiage will make some sense to you. All right, the second one here is the Sabbath rest study, session 10 of the Sandstone, which was back in the end of 20, first year of COVID. My goodness, what a marker that is in history. All right, this is a page off the Sabbath rest study session under study materials. We see that it's a Sandstone study. It's dated this. We have the PDF up there. and we have the MP3s and the video. I'm just going to open the PDF online, and then I want to show you some panels there by way of background to help those that haven't actually been studying with us in this context. And what we're going to look at here is God's eternal purpose, but illustrated in the context of the Son building the house of God, of which you're familiar with. If you've listened to me over the years, you know that's a pretty common subject. And we start with the prophecy of Ezekiel in chapter 36 about the new covenant, which I'm sure you're well aware, we find repeated aspects of it and direct quotes in the Epistle of Hebrews. And Murray has some good chapters on Holy Stuff pertaining to that. Next panel references God's component parts details. So this is God's component parts having to do with the new covenant with the foundation in the prophecy in Ezekiel, but it goes all the way back to actually Genesis coming into existence, the created order, and so on. So the first component part, of course, we see is a quote out of Ephesians, which is in chapter 3. I think it's verse 10 summarized here. But God's eternal purpose has been realized in Christ Jesus. It's to be made known to the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places by means of you and I. In other words, the life of God manifest will be made known in and through his resident house, you and I, his dwelling place in the created order, you and I. And what will they see? They'll see God's eternal purpose manifest. He making himself known in the created order as a mutual participant, indeed, resident in his own house. And if we want to, without any degree of wanting to create argumentation, we see in the first chapter of the Epistle of Hebrews that angels are not the highest being. The highest being that God has created is the human being, because his purpose was to make himself a house and a dwelling place. The angels, in the last few verses of that first chapter of Hebrews, are our servants. Now, I know we'd shy away from that. Any of us would see an angel, I'm sure we'd drop to our knees and cower. But I didn't write that. The Lord did. And he wants us to come into the awareness of that, that we're the manifest, to be the manifest experience of God's eternal purpose, as is our head and brother, Christ Jesus, sitting at the right hand of the Father. So, moving on. All right, this one emphasizes an aspect that Murray will bring out. He brings out in his first couple chapters and throughout his Holiest of All. And we see that unfolded by the author of the Epistle of Hebrews, built paragraph by paragraph, chapter by chapter, bringing us to a place of as he intends, a place of Sabbath rest, of full rest in our participation in the person of Christ. And so you see here a crowded cross trying to be mounted by our brothers and sisters. And that's, of course, how we have arrived at participation in Christ. The shed blood establishment and bringing to an end the old covenant, establishment of the new by means of the blood of Christ, his crucifixion. And of course, we see as our great high priest, he's the one who mediates his own life to us as the mediator. And the next panel, again, I'm going over this fast. Is the house of God left to right, built by the Son, God's pre-creation eternity, God's purpose in creation, upper left header. Underneath that, we'll see I'm going to just jump to the next panel so we can move on here. It's the same thing, but filled out so that we don't need the visual unfolding of it. Underneath the pre-creation eternity, God's purpose in creation, we see the unfolding in the Old Testament of the New Covenant details. We see in the middle of the prophetical foundation out of the Old Testament to the New, and of course there is then laid out line by line a list of the component parts of Ezekiel 36 that pertain to God's establishment of the New Covenant and its focus. There's a quote from Colossians up in the little corner that we'll touch on next time we get together. Next panel, we'll expand that to God's eternal purpose finished, and then we have the biblical quotes pertaining to that. And the person of Christ, his eternal purpose. Then we have the last panel, God dwelling in his house. And then these three headers, if you can see them in yellow, with a bold type in each one. So pre-creation eternity, the New Covenant details forecast in the Old Testament, right from Genesis onward, and then we list all those. We have the header, he tells us ahead of time what he's going to do in making his house and how he's going to do it. Then underneath God's eternal purpose, finished, he tells us before what he's going to do, reference segued from Ezekiel and the establishment of the new covenant, and what he's going to do to us so that we can be a right fit vessel for the indwelling of the divine life of God and his holy person. And after, in making his house, he tells us how he's going to do it, and he tells us the significance of the birthing of himself in regard to the first ever God-man walking planet Earth, who will be with us forever. And then we have God dwelling in his house. On the end, we have he tells us ahead of time how we are to participate. And so those are the three main areas broken up into four component parts that we will frequently refer to. So that's why I'm actually encouraging you to take a look at this. And this particular chart will be referenced quite a few times at the rate we're going through Holiest of All and the Epistle of Hebrews over the next multiple years. Boy, it'll be fun getting to know each other, won't it? Mm-hmm. Yes, it will.
You think we're going to finish this in a couple of years?
I actually don't. I think it's going to take longer. I think we're looking at about a 5-6 year plan here. Right. And again, there's no rush. We want to dig deeper. Some of us have been through this before. Some of us might quite a few times. And I think as Kate referenced earlier, that it's hard to, you dig through Murray and then you start to really discover the content in the Epistle of Hebrews. And there's no end to the depth of the wonders we'll find as far as the unsearchable riches of Christ, the wealth of truth pertaining to this son that God has spoken to us by. I think I'll leave the rest of this stuff up there. You guys can review this on your own, and then we'll bring it up for questions next time we get together. So that's the extent. That's the extent of what I wanted to touch on in regard to that session for Sabbath rest session. Any questions? I went through that quick. I know that's a lot to come at you, Kate, in regard to a lot of words without being able to see anything, but hopefully you're able to pick up something and be encouraged to take a look at that.
Yeah, I just have a question about the text itself, the book, The Holiest of All. Is that on CD by any chance?
Oh, okay. No, it's actually, let me pull up a past session. It's actually all accessible on the website. And you can download it. You can, of course, get a hard copy of the book, but it's a PDF that's up on the website. I'll just take you can't see it. You'd go to the website, and I can tell you that tomorrow, the next day, if we get a chance to talk, or I can email you with the links. But there's a PDF, the exact layout of the Holiest of All. I don't know what year you have. I went with the 1894. Version that was published before and republished many times over the years, and before some of the newer folks that came on and republished old works changed the language around. So it has Murray's original English rendering, which I like and encourage people to use. It's a little bit more challenging, but we lose a lot in trying to contemporize the English language that he used, because his sentences were longer, the content even challenging looking at how the words were used back then compared to today, force us to get a hold of what's really going on there. Everything from trying to find out what's Murray's main thought. He had a sentence that lasted a whole paragraph, and rather than be perplexed, it should be an encouragement to dig a little deeper into it. So that version is what's up online. You can find online different, more current versions, and it's currently being republished still. If you're in dire need of a hard copy, I actually have a couple. If you want one, just let me know. But so the PDF is up. There's audio, MP3, the whole book or chapter by chapter. You can download and or listen to online. So everything that we cover together is always accessible, so that anybody on planet Earth or wherever you go, there's no excuse for being absent. You can always pick it up and review it and so on. So is that helpful, I hope?
Thank you so much.
Sure. All right. This is just a summary to move on before we jump into the holiest of all. Is we're looking at Jesus Christ, the person, the Son, that the Father speaks to us by in those first couple verses, the first paragraph, and that Murray unfolded in the first couple chapters, as the one that we look at. I referenced this in the human user manual. When we want to know what we're to be as human beings, God not only points us to Jesus Christ as a child of his, he stirs us in our own heart and brings revelation and understanding to us about our not only our open opportunity, but the actual ongoing events of the Holy Spirit working inside of us, unfolding to us a true humanity that he is so wonderfully sharing with us in regard to one that can be and is an experience of being the house of God. So God now speaks to us by his Son. In the context of his whole person, that includes not only what he said, not only what he did, not only when he occurred in the events of human history, but by means of his whole character, his person, what God's like in a human being, and is it possible for you and I, and so on. So prophetically fulfilled, scripturally illustrated, underneath that you see what I call the quad, which is five epistles in the New Testament. It uses collateral reference materials. 1 John, emphasis on the experience of life. Galatians, Colossians, Ephesians, and of course one we're studying as a side study with Murray's Holiest of All, the Epistle to Hebrews. And then we have Murray, Holiest of All. So we're going to, in answering the question, what is he like living inside me? We have all those resources and each other. So that's that last panel. Our next one then is really just a graphic of the 13 chapters of the Epistle to the Hebrews laid out before us. And then a little magnifying glass each time pops up with the current chapter that we're working on. This one is the glory of his Son coming from the holiest of all. Then we have a brief table of contents just by way of a reminder when you happen to go through one of the sessions, and it lists the table of contents of Murray's book, section by section. Then we have that chart that I referenced to before. It was done by Irving Jensen, who wrote quite a few Bible study books, and it approaches methodical study, independent study, inductive study, and so forth, approach to in-depth study of scriptures. And he did study guides for Bible study groups, and he emphasized charting for one of his aspects of it. Here we have a chart of the Epistle of Hebrews laid out horizontally and vertically by the sections titled, by the title of their sections, which you'll also see correlate with what Murray has, and as we would come to understand looking at the Epistle of Hebrews, the first half being what we have in this so great high priest instruction. In the middle, a summation of we have such a high priest, and he is such, and this is what he's done. And then we have the last part is, therefore let us, because we have this person, this Son who's spoken to us, not only outside of us and historically, but inside of us experientially, let us therefore go on to maturity. And so we have the exhortation again, it touches on, we have five warning sections in the Epistle to Hebrews. It isn't a light read when we begin to realize the severity of some of these warning sections in regard of a neglect that we would engage in regarding this person, who he is and what he's done. And so we have all that in that chart, for which we'll review quite frequently. All right, that brings us up to today's study. Any questions there? Okie doke. All right, I'll just do these because most of you are familiar with going through this last time. I'll just introduce us to something that will be there every time. No, it wasn't. I tried to unfold to what degree we're going to take this study as far as demands upon us as brothers and sisters studying together. I'm sure you're getting comfortable with it. We're well beyond the introductory to a Bible study here. We're going to dig into the depth. Murray's mind, the mind of the author of Hebrews, our own minds, and the mind of the Holy Spirit as he brings revelation and understanding to us. So each section will have on the page on the right side of the text of the chapter that we're all reading, we will find, page by page, we will find questions that we would hopefully would provoke us. We'd want to engage in, we may not initially, but as we begin to study it together, engage to interact with each other with answering questions pertaining to getting a handle on why is something significant to Andrew Murray, excuse me, that he highlights in the Epistle to the Hebrews, and or is this what the author of Hebrews is emphasizing? And so engaging the dynamic that we're presented with, because we have multiple authors here. We have Murray, who has, we would soon see if we read his materials, a living testimony as he was alive of his own relationship and fellowship with the Son himself and what he found significant pertaining to what do I need to tell my brothers and sisters in the time period I'm living in that not only could bring them to fall in love with Jesus, but go on to this maturity in relationship and participation in reality in their lives that Hebrews is pointing to. And so he's pulled things out of, as he worked his way through the epistle, of things that were significant. We'll want to take note of those, and then we'll want to take just a little longer to see, is there something in addition that might come and be important to one of us that we'd want to talk amongst ourselves? And so we'll address those two authors with the understanding and awareness that it's the Holy Spirit who's the author behind that human author that penned that epistle, and or groups of authors, whoever we want to assign to it, that isn't a concern to us. Our confidence is it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, given to us by God's hand, and he teaches us from outside and from inside to go on to maturity in this fellowship with this life, this person who resides within us. So that's what these questions will pertain to. So I'll go over maybe these four pages rather quickly. I'll just read the questions and we'll see how we're doing there in that regard. And then having given us hopefully a degree of familiarity with the study at this point, and this, of course, from now on, we'll be addressing it from here. All right, let me read. I got four questions for the first page. You may come up with your own. You can, you're certainly encouraged to study this stuff throughout the weeks and time we come together. And hopefully some of us will get tremendously excited and write many. Murray, who knows Christ as his life, what is important to him? And we're looking at that question in regard to a brother or sister who's not with us today, but who witnesses and testifies to the reality of that life. It'd be kind of good to know what was important to him if he's looking at the Epistle to Hebrews. So just somebody else we can talk to, yet from a distance, but there's a lot of words there he has to share. Second question is, what is important to the author of Hebrews in the opening paragraph, the first chapter? And that happens to be the first section that we're studying. With Andrew's Holiest of All. And so what's important to the author of Hebrews? What has the Holy Spirit inspired that human being to write to us, to communicate to us in our own language at the time and today, trusting and relying upon the Holy Spirit to be able to convey to us the reality of God's mind to us in our own understanding that we need to learn and know? So I know there can be a lot in answering that question. Next, the third one is, how is the Son that he's spoken to us by, identified by Murray, by the scripture passage, or the mind of God conveying it to us? What's wrapped up in, he's the effulgence, King James, he's the effulgence of God's glory, express image of his person. What's telling me? How do I get that from the Son? And what's God telling me about that? And what does he want me to know about it? And to personalize it, why does it, what engages me? What am I to get from it in the sense of my own experience? This epistle, although very doctrinal and theological in the presentation, the best one ever in the scriptures of presenting the Son of God, is meant to be experiential on our part. And as you read the epistle, you'll become well aware of that. And then the last one on that page, what is the significance of who the Son is to me? Implications equals things of note. In other words, who's the Son to me? The Son I'm reading about, is that the same one that I asked into my heart? Is that the same one who on his coming in so changed me that I experienced peace with God, the heart that cried, Abba, Father, guilt being removed? And that's the Son coming in by means of the Holy Spirit. Who is this Son? What is this? So what are the implications regarding that? So that's what these boxes are for, things of note. Are we good to jump to the next group of questions, you guys? Again, I just want to expose you to them. And Jessie's holding her head, so I think she's tapping into it. All right, there's only three on this page. All right, now these are a little bit more beyond your everyday theology or introductory philosophy questions that are meant to really challenge our thinking that would take some time, not a ready answer. So this first one is, given the content on the page that's opposite, which is the second page of the third chapter, would there be a created order without the Son of God? God's now spoken to us by this Son, but this Son preexisted, not in human form, but this Son preexisted. We in an Orthodox Trinitarian context would hold him as the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God, triune God. And without the Son, would there be a created order? And so not only what was his role and play in that, let me just read one phrase out of Murray's page that's across from it to see where we might get some information as far as what's Murray's state of mind. The place the Son had in the divine being was such that God's relation to all that was outside of himself, i.e. the created order, he totally exists by himself, if you can even use the word exist. He's beyond creation. So I don't know if existence is the right word to put onto that. But outside of himself was only through the Son. So that's an indication where Murray coming from. Of all that exists, the end and the beginning, it all meets in Christ Jesus. So there's this finite point in the created order that you can't get beyond. And the other side of it, he came from. And the entire created order looks up and sees and perceives him. All that we know about God, as the page progresses and Murray's unfolding of his thought, is shown to us by means of God revealing himself, making himself known, and he does it by means of, in and through his house, a human being. So a little bit helped Earth created order. What does God look like when he manifests himself? Good. And again, you can reference the previous or the page over to the left there. And name two ways the living God can be known definitively from within the created order. Examples. Well, within the created order, if I could know this God-man as a human being, maybe that's one way, or I can at least know historically, if that's accurate and true, that he walked planet Earth. Or from within, we might proffer ourselves as, well, do I actually believe that he's resident in me by his Holy Spirit? I'm in the created order. Or is that one way to discover what's this Jesus about? Our brothers and sisters, Christian people, historical testimony about it, historical written, transcribed, the unfolding of all that we have before us, for instance, what we had in reason and tradition and experience, and we have all that at our fingertips. Other people can help me. We know some people can't, but we indeed, I think all of us know some people who can. So that's that page. And I know that the degree of getting excited about these questions is building. So we'll just hold that excitement till the end. And Kate, I apologize ahead of time for maybe taking some liberties with being a little sarcastic.
Oh, I understand.
Okay. All right, only one question on this page. And again, reference the page that's across from it as far as content that might help us. From Murray, I'm not giving you much here as far as Hebrews. We need to read Hebrews as often as we can. Certainly reading our Murray and getting a grasp on that, but he's digging it out of Hebrews. And so we definitely got to get a handle on that epistle. And it's one of the most challenging that we have because of the distance that we as Western folk come to what's being presented historically as far as an unfolding of a high priest and so on. From what AM, I'm going to use from now on in the written stuff, instead of writing out Andrew Murray's name or Murray, I'm going to use AM, and it doesn't reference time, it references abbreviation for Murray, so Andrew Murray. From what AM has said, give an example of the Son as mediator. Now, we might be jumping a little bit ahead in the epistle, but Murray definitely spoke to some information given to us in the sense of his understanding of how mediator is going to be drawn out. And I'm sure you're familiar with some of the different quotes in the Epistle of Hebrews pertaining to Christ. So I'll just read one as an example. It is through this Son God speaks to us, directly over on the page. It is through this Son God speaks to us. So what's being given to us by means of the Son, however that comes about, and we'll be talking about that, and the Holy Spirit will be unfolding it, is God communicating to him. God's being mediated. God is manifesting himself through his Son by means of however, whatever speaks to us means. So by his life, his character, his person, as a human being, his character, his holiness, the beyond imagination sufficiency of his own person to rise from the dead by the power of God, his growth from being birthed baby to roughly in his early 30s of grasping the mind and heart and relationship he had with God his Father, and the significance then of the joy in chapter 12, or the joy set before him in enduring the cross, shedding his life in his blood to bring an end to the old and to establish the new, and there and the new resident in his people and his church, create a family for himself. So that's that page. All right, now this one, just three questions. And kind of to wrap it up for, I think, for us tonight. First question, in what ways does the Son speak to us by the glory of his person? That's the name of this chapter in a quote from the epistle. So how is the Son speaking to us by the glory? What are we perceiving to be the glory of his person? Okay, set Murray aside, just look at the opening passage in the epistle of Hebrews. That whole first chapter is a full expression in identifying the significance of this God-man, his person, his sitting down at the right hand of the Father, having accomplished the purification of our sins. In all of this stuff, there's something glorious about this person and information we get there. So on what days does the Son speak to us? So take a little time and be thinking about that. Ways that just contemplating the Son, I can see and know as you look at Murray, as you look at the epistle, there's something glorious going on in who he is, what he's done, the conveyance of that, his coming into, from outside of, the created order. There's nothing else out there. There's only God. And he's not created. How did he come in? What did he make for himself that would allow him to so fill that up to all the fullness of the Godhead bodily that this humanity, this human being is used to its utmost end, this divine person? I mean, it's just awesome. So there's glory of the person. You can explore that a bit. Summarize some of the identifying qualifications of this Son that he gives us in this first, in this chapter, in this first paragraph. And then the last one, are these things that are a benefit to us in our way? I got to reword that. Sorry, let me take care. Are these things that are a benefit to us? How can I say it? Are these things of benefit to us? Not are. Okay. All right. Sorry, guys. Work in progress. So are these things a benefit to us and in what way? So what we mean by that is, you'd see on Murray's page there, is knowledge of Jesus Christ, his person, this Son, is essential to our lives. I mean, it's by default, it's essential to all mankind. But we, by God's kindness, he's reached out, he's lifted us up, he's introduced him to himself, we've received him as Savior, we've surrendered into his arms, we've fallen into his arms, however it has come about, we have come into being transferred from the dominion of darkness to the kingdom of his beloved Son. We are in this kingdom of his beloved Son. And these things, talking about this Jesus Christ our Savior, what are they and how are they of benefit to us? So we got a lot just in this chapter that we can address individually and as a group. Now I know a lot of this wouldn't have time as a group, but there'll be indications of it. Hopefully for next time you guys can go over this a little bit and maybe come to want to maybe address aspects of it or share some of the insights you might have gleaned over a little bit of study. So anyway, it's going to take a little bit more than reading. I'm happy if you just come and all you've done is read it, because then we can engage together. But if you have time, start to do a little bit more study in reference to this. So primarily, before Holiest of All, you can read that chapter. That only takes usually about 7 minutes. Then read the first chapter of Hebrews multiple times, because we'll be in that for a while. And then read the whole epistle if you can at some particular point. That's 13 chapters, and that can take 40 to 50 minutes if you don't stop to do too many side issues. So there's a little block of time there that might be demanding. You can listen to it on audio. So we also have the Hebrews and the RSV by Alexander Scorby, a British guy. We're all kind of comfortable with how he talks. Reading it, so you can download Hebrews for the MP3, and you can download Murray's chapter and just listen to it multiple times. you wouldn't visually see it then, but you could listen to it. So you have access to all of that stuff. And you have access now to these questions that I'll be posting. If I don't get them done tomorrow, they'll be up by Thursday. All right, moving on. Well, that's kind of culmination of what we're going to study. Our next time on this page indicates our next session is 6:21. We're kind of going every 2 weeks. So if folks can't make it, we're, I think as a group, we're open to make adjustments. We kind of got to make that in a group atmosphere, reference to other people's input. So if there's any objection to 6:21, which would be 2 weeks from tonight, go ahead and voice it, and we're open to doing some changing. If it's Kate and Jerry, then we can talk about that, and I can communicate with the rest of the folks until we get all in sync together. And instead of chapter four, go ahead and read the assignment chapter four for the next time, but we'll actually go over what I just went over so that we have the whole group involved in it in regard to a little bit of that background and then these questions. And then each time from this point onwards, you'll have, we'll be doing questions per each chapter like this. So you'll kind of get used to what types of questions that I might come up with. You can come up with your own, you're very welcome to. Also, the questions aren't meant to be stumpers. They're just hopefully to help us encourage to dig into it. Don't look for what Mark wants for an answer. That may indicate some things, but that isn't what we're after. We're after what the Holy Spirit wants us to know, and I want to know that also. So if you come up with something and answers to stuff, it edifies and upbuilds me, as I hopefully will in turn edify and upbuild you. So we're a team here. We're a family. We're, I don't know exactly what part of this house is. Elbows are nice, but maybe we're something else. Even a foot. I mean, I'd be happy to be a big toe. Okay. Next thing. Here's the resources. And so here we have that the resources, and Kate and Jerry will see this when they get on it. The second to the last page is we have the House of God chart. We have Christ in You, that PowerPoint, the virtual, part of that video, of which that'll be up on here next time too. And the Gospels of Early Christian Literature, which is a little article, which is a pretty good read. I don't think it was too long and isn't too academically challenging type of thing. And then, I'll save this next one for next. No, if you guys don't mind, I'll jump up there right now. Because Kate and Jerry might like it. Did I show this? I don't think I did. Mm-mm. Okay, this is online. It's a critical introduction to the New Testament. It's just a New Testament introduction for those of you who are familiar with that type of stuff. It answers context for the New Testament, its historical development, authorship, different arguments the church had early on and so on, its purpose, destination, things like that. It also then deals with each of the Gospels and Epistles of the New Testament. We'll find Hebrews fall into that. And I give you a little background historically of what Christian academics and or some others and historically the church has thought about, for instance, the Epistle of Hebrews, whether it be authorship or goal or purpose and so on, which might not be in sync with us. We don't care. It's a resource that we can learn some stuff from if you have some time. We have nothing to be afraid of as if we gather information from our brothers and sisters that we would regard brothers and sisters up until we know different. We'll see their witness and testimony come out of, do they present Jesus Christ to me, the same person we know? And so that's up there. I would take you to it, but you can go to it yourself. The link is on the page in the upper right side right there. All right, the last page. And because tonight was one of those wonderful experiences that we have together. It was appreciated. You know, if we stay here long enough, we gather a crowd. So by the end, we gather.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so back to the first page here. Does anybody have any questions before I will close in prayer? And then we can hang around a little bit after I close the session and chit-chat if we'd like to. Okie doke, let me close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together tonight. Lord, we went through things rather quickly and covered an awful lot of stuff. But Lord, we ask that you'd make it fruitful. We look forward to a time spent together in sharing our witness and testimony, the joyful reality of our experience walking with the Son of God as our very life. We thank you for the privilege of being your house, for knowing you as resident, for bringing us into such a wonderful, awesome, dynamic life. And we would pray you'd fill our hearts up with and bring about events that we'd be able to share that with our neighbor in loving kindness and grace. Give us a good week now in Jesus' name. Amen.
That's all, folks.